So it's going to be a hot week, and things are heating up in the spirit, of course. We're going to talk about that today, because we are in for an amazing time with the Lord in the next, I would say next year or two. We're going for it. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we're thankful that we can gather today with you, your presence, your light, and your love. And Holy Spirit, I just pray right now, as you've been brooding over us all morning, you'd brood a little more, you'd stir us up a little more, you'd make us aware that you're in the house, you're in our hearts, we're the temples, and you've called us to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the worship, Lord. It was definitely in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, we gather here today and we're thankful. Let your word bring lots of life, bring healing. Father, I pray today you prepare hearts to be healed in Jesus' name, because you're in the healing business. So we stand on your word today and we're thankful, Lord, for who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyway, how many believe that we're in the last days? The last days. Yeah. You believe that? I mean, young people, we're in the last days. Okay. Now, when I got saved back in 73, I was told I was in the last days, and I too was a young person. And the last days, are they ever going to get here? I don't know. But I got a hunch we're getting closer. How's that sound? We're actually getting closer, aren't we? And we're in for an interesting time, because I believe God, in the midst of what's going on in our country and what's going on in our land, is in the process of stirring us up. And if you turn your Bibles in Joel chapter 2, Joel 2:28 says, Joel chapter 2, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." All. That's the lost, that's the saved, that's those that go to church, that's all the folks are going to get the Holy Spirit poured out on them. What will that look like? Have you ever thought about that? A lot of people don't realize that this is what God's up to. And the signs are in the heavens, aren't they? Are we seeing weird stuff happen? Is it getting weirder? How many would think it's getting weirder? Is it getting really weird? It's getting weird, I guarantee you. Because we have basically what we've done is, when we threw God out of the country, out of our nation many years ago, by stopping prayer and just kind of, you know, just letting other forces come into this country, the Lord, I have a hunch it broke the Father's heart to watch it happen, because he's the one that created this country. He's the one that brought all the old folks over from England to this country. They were called to come here. They came, and this is God's country. Now, we've had people say, well, this is God is no longer the focus of this country, but I'm here to tell you he is. You can't tell God that this place, country, is not his. It's his. And you and I are the sons and daughters of the Lord. And this is the country we were called to live in, and we're raised here. But we've allowed a non-spiritual climate to hit this country in the last 130 years. If you think about the Welsh revival, the Azusa Street revival, all the latter rain, all these different revivals that were in this country back at the beginning in the 1900s, and today, all the way up today, we haven't had any revival in this country in a long time. I happened to get saved in the Jesus People revival. That was a very powerful revival. I mean, I knew I mean, it was amazing what happened in those days. Businessmen, families, everything. People are coming to Christ. We're getting baptized in Puget Sound and lakes, ponds, wherever we could. People are getting saved. Holy Spirit was being poured out. There were signs, wonders, and miracles. There was cancer. Everything was being healed, and God was moving mightily in the 70s. I happened to grow up in that revival and followed it through a lot of the 80s, and all I'm telling you is that we haven't anything like that since, what, the mid-1990s. Why? I mean, that's the question I've been asking the Lord. I've been saying, Lord, why? Why? I always look for the why, because that's the nature that's in my heart. But I'm concerned. Is God going to pour out? Then I read this scripture, and the Lord brought me back to this scripture. In the last days I shall pour, it shall come to pass after that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming and the great awesome day of the Lord. That's awesome, isn't it? It's amazing. You and I have that to look forward to, don't we? We're going to look forward to that. I mean, but a lot of people are just kind of going on down the highway. Well, it's just, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. But the church, but in the process of that happening, God has called his church to come into a reality that we have got to move to, and that's knowing our God. Most people don't know God. They know about him. The religious spirit has taught people about God, all the wonderments of God, but without the Holy Spirit, they're unable to teach people to know him. That's why it says in John 14:26, I will send the Holy Spirit. He's your comforter. He's your strengthener. He's your standby. He's your advocate. He is the one we need. And by the way, he will teach you all things about God. It takes the Holy Spirit to teach us who that God is a spirit and who he is and what he's up to. He keeps telling us in his word, I will reveal myself to you. Without the Holy Spirit, it isn't going to happen, is it? The religious system cannot do that for any of us. And we have to get free of this attitude that we can be in the religion and we can be in the spirit. You're either in or you're out. Hard word, isn't it? Very hard word. Fortunately, I'm a man that gets to preach in prisons. Man, I mean, and in prisons, these guys come to a reality that they better get on their knees and begin to know their God. They don't mess around because most of them are in such dire straits. They got nothing else going on in their life, and a lot of them are turning to it right now. That's why an old prophet said the revival will break out in the prisons in America. And I actually believe that's going to happen because the people are hungry. The men are hungry. They want God. Problem is, no one's telling them how to get there. Praise God for Matthew 6:6. You want to turn in your Bible there? Matthew 6:6. Matthew 6:6. It says. In fact, the worship was so awesome because guess what? We sang and worshiped God like we actually knew him. I was excited, you know. The Lord will take you into that place if you'll let him. But anyway, it says, but when you pray, go into your most private room, closing the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. How do you get to know God? You can read all the books in the world, but until you enter into a relationship with him, you and him, you won't be able to get a hold of him. Oh, you can think you are, but But I tell you what, why did Jesus tell these disciples, but when you pray, go into your most private rooms, closing the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. He wants to reveal who he is in secret. That requires, and you and I cannot live on somebody else's prayer. You have to get into the presence of God in secret. You and him. I don't know how, if men in prison don't have closets. Did you know that? They don't give them closets in there. So where do they go? They go in the yard. They go in the quiet place. They do it wherever they can. And a lot of us have closets, but they're so full of junk that you couldn't get in there anyway. Most of the houses I'm in the real estate business, they're packed. How are you going to go into your closet? The closet it doesn't have to be a closet. It can be on top of the mountain. Jesus didn't have a closet, did he? Huh? No, he went up on the hills. He went up in the hills. He went wherever. He probably went down and sat down by the beach a few times. I bet you, but that was his closet. Where's your closet? How many are going to go home today and build a closet in their house so they can go have their little secret room? I doubt anybody in this room are going to do that. But he's not saying that. He says, go into a secret place where your Father, who's a spirit, he's a spirit, he will come to you. He will come to you. He'll come to you. Do you realize that? You have a God that loves us so much. He created you. He knew your spirit before the foundation of the earth. It says in Zechariah, he knew your spirit. He designed you. He gave you a spirit to know him. But he's a spirit, and the only way we're going to know him is by our spirit coming alive. How's that going to happen? You're going to have to get with him. But it also says in Ephesians 5:18, be ye filled, constantly filled, with the Holy Spirit. Some groups say, well, I got the Spirit, I got saved. Well, you got your spirit alive so you can know God. Now you got to do something with it. You got to do something with it. Actually, you're going to have to let your spirit be filled all the time so you can know your God. Now that's not real. To a lot of folks, that hits them right in the heart. It really does, believe you me. It hits them in the heart. Because that means you're actually going to have a heart change. A Holy Spirit heart change. And when you get born again in the Spirit, is not your heart supposed to change? Yeah, it better change. Oh, no, I gave my heart to Jesus. I got a ticket here in my pocket. So when I pass out of here, I can go to heaven. That's what's been sold for 100 years, and it's not reality. You got to know your God. When you're in heaven and you're looking at the Lord and his face, and he doesn't know who you are, what's going to happen? You ever thought about it? They don't think about that, but that's reality. And that's why God wants you to go into the secret place and know him. So when he sees your face, he knows you. He's in constant relationship. How can you have a relationship with somebody if you never get with them? Huh? Doesn't work, does it? I can have it up here. I saw him. I think I seen him, but what does he look like? Well, guess what? This is what happened to the disciples. They're all Jews, and guess what happened to them? They were so afraid of God. When Jesus told them that, it freaked the daylights out of them. What do you mean, get near God? You remember what God did to when Moses came down to the mountain, when all this stuff that happened in the Bible? He's going to take me out. No, he's not. He's not going to take you out. He loves you too much. He created you for one purpose, and that is to know him. I get asked this question all the time. Oh, what do you think God wants me to do? Am I going to be a missionary or a pastor or a preacher? apostle or something, I say, what are you going to do? Spend your life getting to know your God. Spend your life. Young people go, huh? Millennials go, you got to be kidding me. But guess what? That's what God says, doesn't it? Go into your closet, shut the door, and wait for your Father who's going to come to you in secret. Because if you don't get in the closet and get to know your God, are you ever, ever, ever going to walk in His love? Because you got to remember, when you go into that closet and you shut the door and wait for your Father, you're running smack dab. You're running into this love that you and I desperately need. Don't we? You got to have that love. Where are you going to get it? You can't read it. You can't get it by reading romance novels. Doesn't work. You're actually going to have to get to know your God. And when you get to know Him, guess what happens to you? He fills you with His love. Because He is love. God is love. God is a spirit. God is love. There's the fruit of the Spirit, the seven spirits of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of the knowledge of God, not about God, of God, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, humility, brokenness, long-suffering, and self-control. Against such there is no law. It's all about the Holy Spirit. Does that scare some of you? Shouldn't scare all of you. You should get excited about that. Because you have an adventure that God's called you to get on, all of us to get on, to know Him. That's our adventure. And I believe that's what's happening in our country. I believe all across this country today, there's many people that are falling in love again with God by the Spirit. Because they realize that the old-time religion they were raised up in no longer works. It can't produce any fruit. It can't produce life, light, and love. It can produce more religion. And we need, what's Ray Hughes used to say? God needs another religious church like He needs another beer joint. That's what he said, right in this church. Some of you, I don't know, most of you weren't here, but I remember Ray saying that. I just roared. God needs another religious church like He needs another beer joint. Come on. We don't need any more religion, do we? And most of us have come out of that religious system. And God's in the process of awakening our spirits so that we literally begin to fall in love with Him. Him. I see that sticker in these cars. H-I-M, Him. Pardon? I'm in Him, is that what I mean? That's good. I just pray when I see that the people that got that are in Him, that are knowing Him, that are spending their lives on Him. Because we're in a place where when the Spirit's poured out, who is going to help the people, the lost? Who's going to help the lost? Tell me. Where's the church that's going to help the lost and teach them who the Father is? And help them walk with the Father. Help them know what the Father's up to. Help them deal with their unforgiveness, their hatred, their bitterness, their anger, all the anxiety and the frustration and pain that's in their lives. Who's going to help them? It isn't the religious church can't help them. It has to be the Holy Spirit to help them. And who are the folks that are going to be full of the Holy Spirit that are going to be willing to help them? That's the other side. We got to have this. We got to have a whole shift. It's coming. It's coming. Today, I believe, you know, I believe that a lot of people, you know, I mean, you go around telling somebody, well, I know the truth. His name's Jesus, and they laugh at you. No, He's actually my friend. The truth. His name is Jesus. Are you that bold to say that to somebody? Are you that confident of the Holy Spirit being in you to say that to somebody? Because this world, what does it need? It needs the truth. It needs the way. It needs the life. It needs the love. And where in the heck are they going to find out about it? It's got to be some people that got it in them that are willing to share it. And who's that? Tag, you're it. You're it. Look no further. Because we got to get with the program. One of the things that's happened in our country, it's kind of interesting, we have a born-again, spirit-filled Christian president now. Is he learning the ropes the hard way? Yeah. I'd say it's bad. It's hard for him. But guess what he's got around him? He's got a whole bunch of Christian guys, spirit-filled Christian men that are praying for him, that are counseling him, that are encouraging him and helping him to know which way to go. And I'm literally confident if we're the church that it talks about in Chronicles who seek God's face and will humble ourselves and pray for this guy, Donald Trump, guess what will happen? We'll see God move. How many believe that? Few. A lot of people have lost their hope. It's amazing to me how many American people that I run into have lost their hope. They all think it's over. Well, I'm here to tell you it's not over yet. Because one of my prophet friends that passed away, Bob Jones, said there's 1 billion souls coming. So guess what? Are we going to get ready for the 1 billion souls? We better not think about all that stuff. We better think about what God's up to. But you won't know that until you get in his presence, will you? Huh? You're not going to know what's about until you get in his presence, until you're going to have to go become a secret place dweller and get to know your God. It isn't going to happen. So you can't live off of somebody else's revelation. Just like Moses and the crew, the guys tried to store up manna for the next day, and guess what happened to it? Turned to rot. So if we can't do that, you're not going to be able to do that. You're actually going to have to get in the presence of God. You realize that God is going to hold his church accountable. Accountability is coming right out of heaven. If you want to be a spirit-filled, heavenly-orientated Christian, you're going to have to be with him. That's what's coming. It's here. And guess what? It's going to be fun. I love Connie. She's over here smiling and laughing. She knows. That's where we're going to have to go. Let me ask you a question. Is there any other place to go? Huh? We're just like, you know, we're kind of like the John 6 crew where Jesus fed the 5,000. They come back the next day looking for some food. And Jesus said, you got to eat my body and drink my blood. And as many of his disciples looked at him and said, man, this is hard teaching. See you later, Jesus. And Jesus turned to the 12 and he says, what are you boys going to do? And what did he say? Peter says, hey, you got words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? We're in that camp. Believe you me, we're in that place. You know, well, is it going to be hard? Nah, it's not going to be hard. It's going to be interesting. Depends on how your attitude is. It can be hard if you got a negative attitude. It'd be real hard. It'd flat take you out. But if you got a good positive attitude and believe God is still God and he's still on the throne and we're living for him and he's in me and I'm in him and we're walking down the road together, guess what? It ain't going to be too bad, is it? In fact, we're going to get to live in the joy. You realize what it says in Joel? The signs and the wonders are coming. The signs and the wonders are coming. The miracles, the healing, all that stuff is on its way. Do you want to participate in it? Huh? How many know somebody in this room that needs to be healed, that's got cancer or some kind of sickness or disease? All of us should know somebody. How are they going to get healed? Amen, brother. That's amen. That's an amen. Jesus is going to come on the scene and heal him. But it takes people to pray for him that have been in the presence of God, heard his voice, to lay hands on him and pray for him with faith, and God will move. You know, there's people roaming around that have said, man, do you expect God to heal after you pray some for somebody? I said, well, that's what he said he was going to do. I kind of believe in what he said to do. Well, I don't know about that. I know people have said that, got healed, and the next day they lost their healing because they didn't believe. I'm telling you, we're in for interesting times. But we're the church, we're the bride, we're the ones God has anointed and called to take a stand. And that's exactly what's going to happen to some of us. We're going to do it. But I tell you what, a lot of people are afraid. A lot of Christians are afraid of the Holy Spirit, just like these guys were afraid to go into the secret place. They're afraid of the Holy Spirit. But you know why there are people afraid of the Holy Spirit? The number one reason? Because they can't control him. Huh? They can't control him. One thing about the Holy Spirit, you cannot control the Holy Spirit. And if you get in a place where you think you can control him and you're involved, guess what he does? He just leaves. I don't want him to leave. Did you know that's what happened to the Azusa Street revival, the Welsh revival, the Latter Rain revival? Every revival ceased because man got a hold of it. And when man got a hold of it, God just goes, shh. That's what happens. You study the revivals, you'll find out exactly what happened in the Welsh revival. Some prophet gal got a hold of Jesse Penn Lewis, got a hold of Evan Roberts and said, hey, Evan, you got to tone that baby down. We got to get this thing under organization. What happened? Gone. Happened in Azusa Street. You know, the Azusa Street revival, the interesting thing about it, Dallas Theological Seminary down in Texas, those people got so mad at Seymour and those guys, they came out and said that the Azusa Street revival, their words were, was of the devil. You got to be kidding me. That's where the Assembly of God church started. That's where all these different spirit-filled churches started. And they got out and said, RB, or one of his name, one of the main guys said, it's of the devil. You got to be kidding me. All those people getting healed, all the miracles that happened, that's of Satan. Because they didn't like the Holy Spirit trying to take them over. Same thing today. But it's going to change. It's going to change. It's on its way. It's going to change. Because I guarantee you, when God says he's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, guess what's going to happen to the religious flesh? They can't avoid that puppy. And it's coming. And it'll be interesting to see the reaction of the church. It's coming. I'm rather excited about that move. Some of us are. Because when it hits, it's going to hit like a tank. I'm not kidding you. We're going to watch our friends and our people we know. And guess what we're going to get to do? We're going to get to pray for them. We're actually going to get to pray for them that God sets them free. That's what we get to do. Are you going to be ready for that? You can say, am I prophesying it? I'm stating, and I'll actually prophesy what it says in here is going to happen. And where it's going to happen in not too long a time. Why? Because God loves us. Satan's plan is to keep us occupied with enjoyable sin tailored to our likes. And that's where we're living. I'll read it again. Satan's plan is to keep us occupied with enjoyable sin tailored to our likes. We're living there. And it's all off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The religious spirit's root is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not the tree of life, Jesus. We need to realize what Jesus told Adam and Eve not to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He wasn't kidding them, was he? And God is trying to wake his church up and realize we have to get free of the bondage that a lot of people are in, Christians. See, what has happened is the enemy has been able to moderate Christianity. When I got saved back years ago, it wasn't, and people were pretty, it was pretty cranked up. When the sin came, you know, and the enemy tried to mess with you, you had to realize what it was and deal with it. This day and age, it's acceptable. And God's going to change that. The Holy Spirit's going to change that. So, it's kind of an interesting concept because it means we're going to have to be careful and listen to our God. That's why it's so critical we get into the secret place and get to know our God. Matthew 6:6. And deal with unforgiveness and all the stuff that hinders us from getting closer to God. You can't, if you got a whole bunch of stuff in your life, God wants to set you free and deliver you from it. Because he doesn't want anything that's going to keep us away from him. Right? You agree with that? That's where we're headed. What's it going to do? It'll be, I don't know. I mean, I just think God's going to pour it out and move on us, and we're all going to change. Right? Huh? Anybody in here not need a change? Huh? We all need it. We got to come into the reality of heaven. Then every now and then people get translated up to heaven. That'll be kind of fun too, won't it? You know, go to a meeting, people are sitting there in their bodies, but their spirits aren't here. They're up there in heaven visiting the Lord. That'll be fun. Won't it? Huh? That'll be fun. That'll scare you. That'll scare the devil out of you because you're going to start hanging out with the Holy Spirit. We don't know what he's going to do, but all we know is he's going to do something. And guess what? We got to get in the doing mode. Anyway, what do you think? Did you sign up for this? Huh? Huh? Good. Yeah, because that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to be wonderful times. All I know is that I believe the scripture that says that Satan is under my feet and he has no power in my life. And the most important thing I can do is keep him away from my life. That means changes have got to happen. So anyway, I got to get to my notes. I haven't got there yet. So yeah, anyway. I believe today, is there anybody in here that needs prayer for a sickness or a disease? Need a healing from God. Is there anybody in here? You can put your hand up. Yeah. Okay, it's Steve. Yeah. I believe the Lord wants to heal a bunch of people. You. Anybody else? Come on. God's in the healing business. Huh? Roberto, good. Yeah. God's in the healing business. We all are kind of intimidated about coming up in prayer line. You know, maybe God's... Is God going to heal us? You mean God would actually heal me? Yeah, he will. Because he's God. Connie, yeah, she likes.
I want all of you to pray for my shoulder because I told the doctor that when he said it would be 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah.
I said, Friday when he does the x-rays. And I want him to...
Okay. Good. I just sense he's here today. George came up to me and he said, well, do you think there's the healing presence of the Lord here today? I felt it when I was in worship. I said, oh yeah, Lord, you want to heal some folks. So if that's you, come on up. Where's Karen and Cherry and Jody and a few? Let's pray. Let's see what happens. I don't know, but I believe that's what the Lord wants to do. George, you want to come? Sure. Jane? We're going to see what the Lord's up to. Can you, all you people that are sick, need a healing, come on up. We're going to pray for you. Because I really believe God's in the healing business. There are a bunch of them here today. Don't be bashful. Do you need a miracle and a healing? How many people are struggling in here with unforgiveness and anger and frustration against somebody in your life? Anybody in here? Anybody in here willing to admit it? You know, come on up. God's in the healing business. And he wants to set captives free today. So anyway, the rest of you can kind of quietly pray and we'll see what God's up to. So I'm going to pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, you're in us. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 3:16. We are temples, and you're in us, Holy Spirit. We ask you today to be stirred up in us, stirred up in us. Holy Spirit, be stirred up in us. And then, Father, I pray you'd open the heavens and pour out your healing power today on everyone in this room. And Father, we'd see signs, wonders, and miracles today. In Jesus' name, amen.